Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where? Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Really? That's where you start,
John? There she blows.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, everybody, I'm Connor Rosal. Welcome back. If there was any doubt as to which podcast you happen to have downloaded and queued up next on your player, this is Make Me Smart, making the day make sense, along with fart sounds and deep sighs.
Our specialité. I'm Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us for Fart Sounds and Deep Sighs, the greatest podcast title I think I've ever heard. It is Monday. Also known as What Did We Miss Monday, where we do a run-through of the stories you might have missed over the weekend. Although, honestly, it's just the stories you might have missed today, because today alone has been
and a half, man.
Like an 8G force day, or what? I think I just made that up, 8Gs. I don't know. Anyway, it's Monday. If you haven't subscribed, you should totally subscribe, because why would you want to miss a second of what we're doing here right now?
No, you're supposed to sell it, not talk it
down.
Yeah,
no, it's great. Double check. Just double check to see if you click the little check button, because they changed it. And now it's like you hit a plus or whatever to follow it instead of subscribe, because that made people think that it costs money. So just in case you're not, you should. There you go.
Yep. All right. Let us begin with the news. And oh my goodness, Facebook, holy cow, right?
Yeah. It's funny because, like, we have to mute, you know, on Mondays now, our new thing is we mutually agree on one big story. And this just was not even, nobody even had to talk about it because, Facebook went down, Instagram went down, WhatsApp went down for almost 6 hours. It is impossible to overstate what a big deal that is. It's also impossible to ignore the pretty weird timing.
Yeah. Explain that a little bit.
Which is, it's coming the day after the Facebook whistleblower was on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, essentially talking about how she did all of this work to gather all these documents that have been the basis of the Wall Street Journal's Facebook files, which we have been obsessed with, along with many members of Congress and regulators. Yeah. And a lot of really damning information has come out about Facebook over the past few days. And so that's what we were digesting. We were sort of sitting there like, wow, Facebook has known a lot about the potential harms that its platform causes. At many points, it seems to have just chosen, you know, engagement and making money. And everybody was debating that philosophical choice. Matt Levin from Bloomberg had a really interesting piece today about how, like, that's not illegal. There might be parts of it that we want to make illegal, but it's not right now. And so what is the kind of question that we're trying to answer here? And then all of that was just blown out of the water by a 6 hour outage of a company that serves up to 3 billion people. What?
It's amazeballs. Amazeballs.
Like,
know?
That doesn't happen. That does not happen at that scale. And Kai wasn't there, but hey, on your show today, I talked about
I heard it.
Right. There's this massive economic effect, and I hadn't even really internalized how much of an effect. Like, there's all of the people who can't, you know, sell on Marketplace, or the small businesses that only exist there, or the advertisers. But I had actually forgotten about WhatsApp being this global power horse that's trying to turn itself into like a WeChat, where it's a centralized app for taking all these orders and calling an Uber and making payments. and all of that commerce went away for 6 hours, seemingly because Facebook is like so maybe arrogant, but definitely centralized.
Yeah.
That when there was some kind of configuration error internally, that was just there's a great summary actually by this guy, Alex Hearn, who writes for The Guardian, who's on parental leave right now. But he was like, you know, essentially Facebook accidentally, we assume, sent this update to a deep level routing protocol on the internet that was basically like, hey, we don't have any servers anymore. Love you. Bye. And normally that would be totally fine.
Could you actually, for those who might not have heard Marketplace today, you gave a really good explanation of what it is understood happened and sort of the real world analogy. Yeah. Would you do that again, please?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. I was very proud of that metaphor.
You should be. It was a good
one. Essentially, we have addresses, right? We have locations. And I said that what essentially happened with Facebook today is that it's as though someone just sort of accidentally went in, we assume accidentally went in and deleted, mm-hmm. let's say, my home address from Google Maps. And all of these, you know, DoorDash delivery drivers and the post office and the Amazon guys and everybody who's trying to find my house, all of a sudden, they can't. There's no address there. They're just driving around in circles, driving by my house a million times probably because it doesn't exist as far as their mapping service is concerned. Just went invisible. So invisible. It was so disconnected from various internet protocols that some sites actually thought the domain facebook.com was for sale.
Yeah.
Because instead of using back end registration, they were using like DNS lookup and they were like, oh, well, I used, you know, this internet protocol to like ping for facebook.com and see if it's there and nothing answered. So we put facebook.com up for sale. Bonkers.
Oh my God. Right? I mean, that's crazy. It serves 3 billion people, a third of humanity, and it's gone.
Crazy. And it just went away.
So let me ask you something substantive, though. In the long run, well, I know the answer to this one, so I'll frame it differently. what is a more significant news story? The whistleblower Frances Haugen from last night on 60 Minutes, or today's outage and just the revelation of how deeply Facebook is intertwined in our daily lives?
I mean, I think it is. I think taken together, I'm not trying to dodge. But when I made a joke earlier today that, you know, I could imagine that Mark Zuckerberg was like, oh, yeah, try to live without me, a-holes, and just like hit the button, right? And took it away.
He pulled the plug. That's right.
He just pulled the plug. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's how you like me now, right? And the whole world was like,
exactly.
Uh-oh. So although these revelations are a really big deal, and we may want to think about regulating this company a little more than zero, which is how much we regulate this company now, it's very likely that we can no longer live without it. And we kind of found that today, and it's a little terrifying. And by live, I mean conduct global commerce.
Yeah.
Also, Facebook is way too centralized.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. I have one more and then we got to move on because there's a couple of other things to talk about. I would be curious as to your take on the absolute disappearance of Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg from any role defending this company publicly.
Yes. That is bananas. Imagine if, you know, any other company, if like substantive proof of knowledge of harm had come out, right? It was not illegal to sell cigarettes and then substantive proof of actual harm came out.
Yeah. So,
or like Boeing, right? No CEO just disappears, just utterly goes silent.
Let alone a CEO who's got complete control of the company, right? I mean, Zuckerberg burps and Facebook jumps, right?
And there's no board, you know, accountability.
Right.
There's no situation in which the board is going to come along and be like, you got to go, which might happen at some other company at this point. At this point, a normal board would be looking at the CEO and everybody under him and being like, you are a risk.
Yeah.
Except that literally yesterday I got like a research note, you know, an analyst note from an investor firm, that an investment firm that was like, we rate Facebook a buy. It's not going anywhere.
Wow.
People can't get rid of it.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that's why I say you can't separate those stories.
Yep. Yep.
Yikes.
All right. Let's scoot through another couple here. I think a couple of things that caught my eye today. Number one, New Zealand, which has been under Jacinda Ardern, sort of the picture of, here's how we're going to deal with COVID. We're going to shut it down. We're going to control our borders. And yes, they're a small island nation. I get that. But come on. Close things down and we're going to control it and have zero illnesses and deaths. Well, they've decided that's not going to work anymore. They're giving up and they're just going to try to live with it, which is, number one, foreseeable, but number two, also kind of too bad because I was rooting for Jacinda Ardern. You know, the whole COVID zero thing in Australia is gone. I will read straight from my notes in the rundown here. I am elevating the debt limit problem to DEFCON 2, people. DEFCON 2. We're at DEFCON 2 with the debt limit. And here's why. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the Senate, who, as we know, has stood fast in his belief that he gets to decide pretty much everything about what goes through the Senate of the United States, where he's in the majority or the minority, wrote a letter to President Biden today in which, and this is the only way I can characterize it, in which he told off the president of the United States. Wagged his finger and said, no, 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 Joe, we've known each other for 40 years, but you're not doing your job right. And you and your gang of cronies, he said lieutenants, but he meant cronies up here on Capitol Hill, aren't governing right. And it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Wow. And so I cannot actually say that I think the United States is going to default on its debt, although the president of the United States did say today he cannot guarantee that it won't. I think it's a much dicier proposition now, and I think you have to look for a little tsuris in the financial markets in the next like 10 days. Seriously. This is way worse than 2011 or 2013. Way worse.
Yeah. This is terrible. This is a direct quote from that letter. Republicans' position is simple. We have no list of demands. For 2.5 months, we have simply warned that since your party wishes to govern alone, it must handle the debt limit alone as well.
It's been
blocked a straight up and down vote. Well, also, he won't let him govern alone. Mitch McConnell blocked a straight up and down vote. They were like, okay, great. If you want us to govern alone, like, we'll pass it by ourselves. And he was like, oh, no, I mean, you can't have a vote without a threat of a filibuster. Yeah. DEFCON 2, just remind the non-military audience, out of what?
Oh,
five?
So DEFCON is out of five.
How bad is
five
that?
Is peace and everything's normal. One is nuclear war is happening right now.
Oh, crap.
So two's bad. two is bad. Yes, two is bad. I thought about three, but I decided after this letter it was a two.
Yeah. Oh, biscuits. Okay, great.
Yeah. So those are mine.
Put all your gold in Bitcoin, kids. No, I'm just kidding. That's Don't do anything like that. Speed.
Consult your own financial advisor, please.
Do not listen to anything I just said. Hey, speaking of bad, I know that everybody was focused on Facebook going down today, but a company that is a critical part of the global telecommunications infrastructure used by AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and several others around the world, such as Vodafone and China Mobile, quietly disclosed that hackers were inside its system for years. Today, impacting more than 200 of its clients and potentially millions of cell phone users worldwide. The type of communication this company, Signiverse, specifically handles every year is text messages.
Oh, wow.
Think about how often you get like two-factor authentication for your bank account via text message or all of the other information that you conduct via text message. And this company apparently had hackers just roaming around for 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. This is the level, speaking of DEFCON, this is the level of cybersecurity that we're at right now, where first of all, we have this unbelievable consolidation, like a given company can work with everyone and has access. And this is a direct quote from a security researcher to the communications of hundreds of millions, if not billions of people around the world. A 5-year breach of one of Signiverse's main systems is a global privacy disaster. Senator Ron Wyden referred to it as basically like an espionage gold mine. Another cybersecurity expert called it a state-sponsored wet dream. Pardon me.
Oh,
I mean,
thank
it is
you. Hard pass.
You're welcome. Sorry. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to go grown up with the seriousness of the things.
Yep.
And they only disclosed it as part of an SEC filing because they were going to go public through a SPAC. I mean, we're so far behind the cybersecurity eight ball here. Like, it's impossible to even quantify. We're not even in the pool hall.
Oh, man.
It's So that's no good. All also, right. What else? Soon our entertainment is going to go away as well because apparently.
Yes. Yes. Like, huge news, actually.
Also today, real quick, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees has voted to authorize a strike against Hollywood Studios. It's a pretty small union, but nevertheless, it represents 150,000 crew members of camera operators, cinematographers, editors, makeup artists, and they might go on strike primarily because, like, streaming outlets don't pay.
Yeah. It's called IATSE. And here's the amazeballs thing about it. They had a turnout of almost 90% of eligible members voting, and 98.6% voted, hell yes, we're going on strike.
Yeah.
So cue up those reruns, folks.
Just pay them.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, this has been going on for years, but yeah, yikes.
Yep.
Yikes. Happy place, real quick. All right. Real quick.
Let's go, real quick. Bing, bing, bing. Bang, bang, bang.
Pew, pew.
All right, you go.
We asked you to write in with Make Me Smile things, and duh, like tons of you wrote in about Fat Bear Week, which was our favorite thing this time last year. Leah, Connor, other people, semifinal voting is today and also happened yesterday. Finals are tomorrow, and definitely don't forget to take a look at the Meet the Bears tab, which is the most fun part. Actually, my own child sent this to me and was like, Mom, look, I voted for Spring 182.
Oh, that's funny.
Fat Bear Week, the best. Thank you to everybody.
God, it's made all those wrote pictures. That's amazing.
I know.
Wow.
They literally go from
it's
like
crazy.
Scrawny
they're so
little...
skinny, and then they,
And then they just get so fat. There's Fat Bear Junior. There's even a junior category this year. It's so cute.
You got all note to go to there on me for a second. Fat Bear
I
Junior.
I did, actually. Oh, it's so cute. Look at these juniors.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So we're going.
We're done today.
We're going now.
Kai's out tomorrow. Kimberly will be in. We will be discussing the Indian Child Welfare Act, which is fascinating. This is a federal law that basically says Native kids who are up for foster care or adoption should stay within Native American communities whenever possible. And the law has been under attack. We're going to look at the money behind that, but also what it means generally for the future of Native tribes, because as with all things, this has lots of unintended consequences. It's going to be super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Send us your comments, questions, thoughts on that, or anything else you hear on this particular podcast, or anything else you hear on any podcast, really. We just want to know what's on your minds. Make Me Smile suggestions as well, please. Marketplace.org is the website. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org is the email address, which is even more convenient. Or you can just pick up the phone and give us a call. Our number is 508-827-6278. 508-UB-SMART. Charlton Thorpe, save us from ourselves.
We did it.
My goodness.
We're only 1 minute over.
That's not bad. Not bad.
That's pretty good. You got a lot in there. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, who saved us from ourselves. Tony Wagner writes our newsletters. You should get those, too.
Bridget Bondner is the senior producer of this year's podcast. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves.
132 Spring Cub. That's the one. That's the one that my son voted
132
for.
132 Spring Cub. All right. You go
so
find yourself
cute.
A cub you like. Oh, my God.
They're so fat.
They are. It's crazy, actually, how big they get. But good for them. That's,
so good.
That's what they got to do. It's that whole hibernating thing.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.